I have an announcement for you here. Although the coronavirus has not yet appeared locally, many people have become concerned about its spread. While we do not intend to change our liturgies, we do urge caution, as we would with any illness, such as the flu or a cold. Use common sense in all things. If you are not feeling well, please do not receive Holy Communion from the cup. And we ask that everyone please receive the sacred host in your hand rather than on your tongue. It is a much healthier way to receive Holy Communion. You may also choose to offer a smile or a nod to the person next to you at the sign of peace instead of shaking hands. Hopefully, a cure for this virus will be found soon, and it will not affect us locally, and we will be able to return to our regular procedures in a few weeks. This Sunday's readings begin with the account of the fall of humankind. The thought that humankind would be handed over to the evil because Adam and Eve ate an apple or some sort of fruit certainly seems like an overreaction by God. However, we need to look carefully at the reading. Before they turned from God, Adam and Eve were innocent. They were told that they could eat from the abundance of the Garden of Eden, with the exception of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God did not want them to experience evil. But he also gave them a free will with the ability to choose good or evil. They were tempted by the serpent, and the nature of the temptation is so important. The serpent did not tell them that the fruit tasted better than the fruit on all the other trees, nor did Adam and Eve eat the fruit because they were hungry. The serpent told them if they ate this fruit, they would be like gods, and they would not need God, and their pride led them to experience evil. And once they ate the fruit, they were no longer innocent. They experienced sin, and with it, shame. The Genesis story of the fall is not about fruit. It is about the temptation we may have to act as though we do not need God. This is also the heart of the three temptations the Lord endured in today's gospel. Jesus was hungry, and the devil didn't tempt him to pray to his Father to provide food. He tempted him to turn the rocks into bread and use the power his Father had given him for himself. And at times, we are all tempted to selfishness, and at times we are tempted to hoard for ourselves the gifts the Lord has provided. In the second temptation the Lord endured, when the devil said, "Throw yourself from the parapet of the temple and expect your Father to catch you," was a temptation to show superiority to the Father, a temptation to demand that the Father go into action. And sometimes, do we do this when we demand something from God? Sometimes we say that we pray, but God does not hear our prayers. But that is wrong. God hears our prayers. But sometimes God says no. The temptation to force God into action is seen even among some well-meaning but ill-informed people who believe that certain prayers will always produce the desired results. But you know what? God is God. We are not God or gods. The third temptation the Lord endured is the temptation we all have to accumulate, possessions and power as though these gifts from God will make our lives happy. Jesus did not fall for this lie as he stood on the ground, the mountaintop, and viewed all the kingdoms of the world, all of his, if only he would worship the devil. Many people in the world worship evil if it increases their fortunes or the status of their life. They even call it the way of the world. Interesting expression, isn't it? The way of the world is the way of the devil. Think about the dark places in our society, the places of drugs, places where the powerful plot to destroy the weak and plot to take advantage of those who cannot protect themselves. Those misusing their positions and their possessions happily choose evil. And at the beginning of Lent, we are summoned to take a serious look at the conduct of our lives. Are we committing the original sin of pushing God aside? Is God a low priority in our lives, and therefore no priority at all? Look around. Remember when the church was always full? Lent calls us to examine how we are using God's gifts. Are we selfish? Do we take advantage of others? Or do we recognize our dependence on God and do whatever we can to serve God's presence in others? The number 40 is used throughout the Bible whenever the world is going to experience a major change. There were 40 days of rain in Noah's time when God gave men a new start. Moses went on to Mount Sinai for 40 days and received God's law, the Ten Commandments. Elijah traveled for 40 days to that same mountain, which in his time was called Horeb, and restored the worship of Yahweh. And Jesus spent 40 days in the desert of Lent, not just to complete some tasks, not just to give up things. Rather, we spend 40 days preparing to transform our lives so that we might be an Easter people.